I want to thank not only Adam and Simon, but all our speakers this afternoon who've shed light upon our responsibilities in relation to the changing face of democracy. What everybody appears to agree upon is the fact that we can't separate individual human rights from the context of group responsibilities, whether that group is the family, the human race as a whole, or all life forms on this planet with whom we share its resources. Not for nothing did the UN call its Declaration of Human Rights universal. Its tenets are based on the truth of the essential unity of life, and that unity is slowly struggling through into active expression in democratic movements around the world. So, to sum up, is democracy in crisis? From one angle, one could argue that it's never been stronger. Even repressive regimes like Mugabe's Zimbabwe hold elections and go through the motions of upholding a democracy, even when everyone knows it's a sham. Democracy doesn't guarantee good governance, nor adherence to the rule of law. When we're disappointed with the failures of new democracies, we can recall that they take long struggle and effort to establish, and even then can become fragile if people themselves feel alienated from decision-making, as we're witnessing here in the West. In addition to this, democracy suffers when the strong voice of the voting public prevents the introduction of unpopular but needed long-term policies. Short-termism and special interest groups can stifle good policy. We could say they equate to the voice of the personality overriding the more inclusive and wide-ranging vision of the soul. So democracy is still our best hope. Recently, as we have discussed today, the economic crisis has revealed that it fails when greed and an over-materialistic attitude towards life is encouraged at the expense of spiritual values. For it corrodes trust and fosters fear, two of the major signs that manifest themselves when the light of the soul is eclipsed by the light of the selfish personality. The world economy is a good indicator of where humanity stands on the evolutionary path. And a crisis such as we are currently experiencing is a sure sign that a realignment needs to take place. And it is in this sense, as a correcting agent, that it can be welcomed. It's offering us this opportunity to reassess our values and reconsider the economy in terms of the public good. To understand we are one humanity and that the reign of poverty undermines the human rights of us all. As we know, those countries which suffer from extreme poverty often suffer from extreme violation of human rights and their governments tainted by corruption. But occasionally there is good news. For example, in Africa, where despite its huge problems, research undertaken by Mo Ibrahim's foundation found that governance is actually improving in 31 of 48 sub-Saharan countries. And it's even more astonishing that the area of good governance showing the most improvement is human rights. And these are often in former war zones, such as Mozambique and Liberia. In the words of John Githongo, Kenya's former anti-corruption czar, the democracy genie is out of the bottle. Violent eruptions will continue, but the trend is there. So another challenge we face is the electronic version of the Chinese whisper syndrome that the mass communication network can give us. For while most people have become more informed, which helps, of course, to strengthen democracy, the information doing the informing can be distorted as it passes through a variety of different political and journalistic filters. This can mean that the whisper of good that's slowly permeating the substructure of world politics can be hard to discern amidst the clamor of world crisis. However, when we do tune into this whisper, we see that the soul, the spiritual heart, and substance of our salvation is tentatively shining through. And this emergence can be supported and empowered by all who meditate. Human intelligence is implementing systems in which human rights take root, but they'll only flourish if fed by the energy of love. By its very definition, love places the rights of the individual in the context of his or her responsibilities to the whole. And when the heart of humanity begins to respond to the inner subjective planetary kingdoms, then transformation can occur at a fundamental level of consciousness. We can then become self-governing in terms of higher laws, laws of sacrifice, cooperation, and service that supersede man-made laws. We can make all sorts of man-made laws, political, religious laws, but unless regulated by the heart, they won't be ineffective in stopping conflict and violence. The heart is automatically inclusive, and when open and radiating, human rights will become a normal human expression. We will then become, as Julia said, fully human. And this necessitates a move towards a spiritual meritocracy, even if an unconscious one, whereby people come to positions of power not by force or by unrealistic promises, by a mass recognition of spiritual quality. As qualities of spiritual merit are discerned and voted for by the public over self-interest, and as the public recognizes and votes for qualities, it's a sign that they too are discovering the seeds of such qualities within themselves. For we can only recognize the higher qualities in someone else when they are also awakening in ourselves, as the seer Patanjali espoused so long ago. To unfold such a spiritual meritocracy, it's essential for divine laws to be sensed, laws which only operate within a world which recognizes the common good. Crises such as we are now going through sharpen our sense of this need and highlight the unifying sense that we're all in it together. From this angle, crises can be viewed in a positive manner rather than simply feared. Alice Bailey gave us some beautiful images of divine laws which operate for the good of the whole on the higher spiritual levels and which are destined to be expressed by the human being on earth. One of them is the law of service, portrayed by a human being standing with a water pot placed on his head, arms outstretched. In the early stages, the pot is carried on the shoulders as a burden, for the life of service can be very difficult. But as spiritual strength and poise and balance are attained, the pot is carried on high, freely and easily, pouring its life-giving waters out to all. So this shift in consciousness towards service as a major life expression can be symbolically phrased as offsetting the gravitational pull of the earth so that we can fly into the face of the sun. This entails relinquishment of ideals and forms that make us prisoners of the planet. It means the movement from self-service to sacrificial giving, as symbolized by a rosy cross with a bird flying over it. This is the cross of love over which the soul flies free and unencumbered by time and space. It signifies a step towards freedom, That true freedom that can only be found in the context of aligning oneself with a sense of responsibility to the good of the whole. So let's go into meditation now to end our meeting, help strengthen the new group of world servers and the vision of the Declaration of the Human Rights. Thank you.